that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Again, it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we are coming to you live this 12th day of March 2016. A little cloudy at the Radio Ranch this morning, but it's supposed to be a beautiful day for wintertime. This is about as good as it gets, that's for sure. And we say good morning, Jason. And let me see if we got the buttons pushed here. Hopefully we do. Guys, are we on? Good morning. Josh, good morning. Well, guys, we're having a few technical difficulties. I got the buttons pushed. We're in on the Telos, and it doesn't seem to be working. That's all right. We'll get the guys back on here somehow. We've got a guest this morning, Josh, from down there in flooded Louisiana, and he was going to tell us about some of that. But that's all right. We'll be able to get to him, I'm sure. But we are coming to you live this morning. That's kind of how live radio is when you don't have a whole bank of technicians working on things, setting you up like the big boys do, but that's all right. That is all right. Well, hey, we got a song for you. I'll see if I can get those guys back on the line. We'll be right back to you, and we'll open the phone lines up later, too. We'll be right back.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, Almighty One. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more. To Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind. Like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike with fear. Fill up their faces with humiliation. And let them seek your name. Let them be terrified and shamed forever. And let them be dismayed and be destroyed. Let them know you alone, you are the one most high o'er all the earth. Do not be...
Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
Hey, that's a little better. And good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
And again, my apologies, folks. That's just kind of how it is. Thankfully, Jason, in his wisdom, has two systems set up here at the Radio Range. So if one doesn't work, hey, you can back up to the backup system. And so, Jason, thank you for coming up with that. And we're on the backup system, and it's working. So, again, we welcome you here a few minutes into it. Coffee with the Wranglers this Saturday morning, the 12th of March. And, well, Jason, if you'll open us up in prayer, we'll move right along with the program. How about that?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we thank you for this opportunity to be here. And we ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program, Father. We rebuke Satan and the forces of hell that come against us in so many ways, shapes, and form. And we just take authority and dominion over them and call for them to be declared powerless over us, Father, that they can have no power, Father. And we just ask that we, as we come before you, we come before you, Father, and we want to be pleasing in your sight. We just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us, ask for it to be as white as snow, Father. that we can be perfect when we come before your throne. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and the forces that come against us. And we pray that you guide us and direct us with the working of the Holy Spirit more in our lives than ever, Father, as we look to you for the answers and look to you for guidance, direction, Father. We just ask, Father, that you do guide us and direct us, Father, that you allow our cup to overflow with blessings from your throne as we come before you. We pray that we can just be pleasing in your sight, that we can bring a sweet aroma before your throne, Father. And we thank you for all these things. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we've spoken to a couple of our people on the extended congregation that are down there in the flooding, and Jason thought it'd be a good idea to bring Josh up and just kind of give us all an update on how things are going down there. And Josh, have you seen Noah in a big boat going by, or is it almost that bad?
Yeah, I think there are quite a few people that wish they had his phone number. We've had an unprecedented amount of locally heavy rainfall. And, I mean, some places have gotten 2 foot of rain in, 24 to 36 hours. And we're just not set up for that. And as we've talked about in the past, the more growth you have, the more expansion, the more pressure it puts on your drainage systems and what have you. And so we've gotten some very serious flooding down here. They've had the National Guard in, evacuating people out of their homes. And, there are countless roads that are closed down and bridges that are washing out and undermining. And it's definitely has dealt a heavy blow to our infrastructure. And, when you get all those roads closed, and then when you have the emergencies, the ambulances, the sheriff's office, what have you, they can't make it to those affected areas. And they've imposed curfews, and I mean, they're really working hard to try to relieve, I guess, to offer the relief to the people as they can, but it's just a monumental task. Our state's been in a state of emergency for several days now, and it's something to see, I'm here to tell you.
Yeah, I know, I can remember.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that there can be a lot of people that, can get in a bad spot real fast when those floods are coming.
Yeah, there have been several fatalities this far, and I think the rivers aren't expected to crest some of them until, Tuesday or Wednesday next week. So, which that would be in the more southern areas, as the water makes its way down. But they're already smashing previous records on river levels and lake levels, and a lot of them, they have records on them back to the 1890s, so it's definitely much more than just a 100-year flood, as they have describe them sometimes.
Yeah, growing up in Florida, you'd see that usually when hurricanes would come through, you'd have excessive flooding, but sometimes you'd have it where you'd have, like you described, several days of rain, and Louisiana is probably like Florida was, a generation or two ago, a lot of swampland. And the more and more as we've developed and these houses have gone in and they build in floodplains and everywhere else, it just it limits where the water can go. So then where it does go, it's flooding roads and neighborhoods and things like that.
And another factor on it is the system that has been flooding us was coming straight out of the south, and it was going just pretty much due north. And, from living in Florida, when you get that wind out of the south, it holds that water up. It keeps it from heading out to sea as it normally would. And when you back up out there on the coast, it just backs everything all up, coming in further and further,
That's something.
Yeah.
But I would definitely ask people to keep our people in their prayers that are affected by this flooding. and you know, lift them up for deliverance and a restoration.
Yeah, I got a.
Yeah.
I was looking here. I got a. Was texting with Shane, and he said, "Yeah, they've had certainly plenty of rain." He compared it. He said it was kind of like the Passover, though. All around us was flooded, but not too much here, at least. And so that was that's a praise report in itself. You know, I think that's what we prayed Wednesday, or prayed Thursday night. I missed you guys Wednesday night. Was out of town, but sure prayed for him Thursday night. You know, we get this. We get the floods. We get the fires. We get the heavy winter storms, the tornadoes, those type of things. But God is still able to deliver his people through those things. Josh, do you see just people helping out other people, you know, kind of rising to the occasion, you know, with flooding and whatnot there?
I was reading an article. I think it was yesterday, there was a line crew out working, and an elderly couple ran off the road, and one of the linemen, I mean, he wasn't equipped for it, but he I guess you say he just couldn't take it. He bailed off into the floodwaters and actually was able to rescue the lady. That it was a couple, an elderly couple. He was able to rescue the lady. And whenever he went, by the time he got back and got to the man, you know, he had drowned. But this was an older couple, and I'm sure I wasn't there, but I would imagine he probably sent his wife out first, you know. And a lot of people, you know, would praise the guy that went in there, and I do too. But my first thought was, well, what about the rest of the guys that were standing there, you know? They didn't go help, but thankful that the law is on our heart, and it's not on everybody's, but
sure,
it is on his people's, and you know, it's amazing the miracles and the blessings that he allows to take place whenever when people need them.
Amen. Amen to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes it seems like it takes something like this, some type of disaster, you know, some type of something where everything's out of the norm, you know, for maybe for that to show sometimes.
And I've heard that stated in several instances, people that his homes have flooded and it's just been a traumatic experience, but they do realize that their family is still intact, and that's what matters. And the rest of the stuff, the material things that we get caught up in day-to-day life, that's nothing, you know, compared to your wife or your children. And
right.
I think, you know, a lot of times we don't do it on purpose, but we lose sight of what's really important because of the pressures of I guess you'd say, the daily grind. Maybe we do take for granted some of the things that are more important, and yet we lose sight of them. And we know that he is working all things for our good. We just got to remember that, and we got to stand on it and seek to be in his will.
Yeah, I agree.
Amen to that. Absolutely.
You know, it's interesting because, it's obvious times are changing, and you know, you get a flood, you get a hurricane, you get you know, that it really shows you there's a lot of people that in the midst of the hurricane, you know, they turn back to God. If in the midst of the trials that they turn back to God, and you know, I just want to, you know, tell people flat out that's not the time to be turning back to God. I think it's pretty clear from the scriptures that, you know, you want to be there before that fire hits your house, before that flood is at your doorstep. You know, that's not the time to be getting right with God. It's long before that. And, you know, they're always putting those stories out there that, you know, oh, at the last minute, you know, the floods were coming and the tornado was at my door, and I, you know, I decided that I was going to pray. You know, well, there's a time to pray, and it's a lot sooner than that. And you know, a lot of people, though, you know, like Israel of old, if you look at Israel of old, you know, our people, our forefathers, there was a point in time where they didn't turn back to God until they had bloodshed in every single family. You know, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't a family that didn't have a brother, a father, a mother, a sister, you know, a daughter, somebody that had been killed. And, you know, that just shows you the hard-heartedness and the stubbornness of people in general when you think about that. When you stop and think about that, how bad does it have to be before you turn back to God? Do you ever think about that?
Well, I certainly do, and I think about us having the oil in our lamps and us being ready. And, you know, it is all about mercy, and it's all about grace and forgiveness. And I thank the Lord that He has patience and mercy with me. And I thank Him for the fact that one that comes in at the 11th hour gets the same pay as one that's been there. But I would a whole lot rather be a faithful servant that is preparing myself and my household so that I can better help others in that 11th hour. You know, just as we've talked before, whenever you're prepared, it's a whole lot easier to go out and rescue somebody in a flood if you've got a boat and a motor with gas in it than if you don't.
Yeah.
And that's the way that I look at it. You know, we pray for, pray for His blessings, His mercy, you know, pray for, salvation. But it's important to build that foundation in ourselves so that we will be built on that rock. And it's also important for our children to see us trying our best to walk the line and seeking the Lord and seeking His will and living by His word. Because we know that if you train up a child, you know, he's not going to depart from that. And I'm not saying there won't be hard times along the way, because
there always,
the Bible is
there
full
always is,
of
there?
That. Where you,
yeah, there always
that's
is.
That's right. But the end result for a faithful man trying to do the Lord's will is always a good one. And we got to keep that in mind. You know, you're going to stumble and fall, but you got to get back up. And my goal is to live the way the Lord would have me to, and to grow and to help others around me, because that's what we are. We are a servant people. We've got a choice who we're going to serve. If we're going to serve God, or if we're going to serve Satan's kingdom of the world. And like it or not, you're going to serve somebody. And that was on that man's heart whenever he went off into those floodwaters that, you know, was crazy by the world standards to go out there. He was more worried about his brethren than he was about himself. And I thank the Lord for him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's, you know, where a person's heart needs to be. Greater love hath no man than a man that'll lay his life down for his brother.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm kind of switching gears a little bit. There's, thought it was interesting over in, Missouri. It's, Greene County, Missouri. The epidemic of mass incarceration has been coming to bite authorities, in the back. Greene County Jail is completely full. Springfield has a population of about 165,000. And it has about, it has the capability of having about 12,000 people in custody at, one time. And the problem is right now, well, I guess it's not really a problem. I don't know if it's a problem or not. But the jail's full. And, so since the jail's been full, they just kind of quit showing up for court for their court dates. They know the jail's full. They know that they're not going to go to jail. And it's kind of interesting because as you read through it, you know, it's a long, we could talk about it for a long time, but as you read through it, it says that there's, that they had 88, I can't remember exactly, but it was between 80 and 90 court dates, court hearings in court that were basically misdemeanor offenses, traffic violations, things like that, and only 8 of them showed up. Now, 8 out of 80, you know, 10% of them showing up, that's pretty substantial. And they said that basically they said that people are just thumbing their nose up at the authorities because the jail's full. They can't do anything about it. Can't throw anybody in jail. And actually just kind of have been leaving people alone. They're saying that that crime rates haven't actually went up, that they've stayed about the same, and everything's pretty much normal except for the fact that nobody's willing to show up for jail and nobody's willing to show up for court. And as you look through it, the interesting thing is the only thing that they're really worried about is the revenue.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, a full jail is making its full potential of money. They get so much funding from the state and so much federal funding, and that's their, you know, that's what they're shooting for. Their goal is to have each one of those jails that they build full so that they can, and I mean, they'll transfer inmates across the country and what have you to try to make that, because that's where their revenue comes from, is from the numbers. The same thing with the public school system. You know, that's why they're pushing against homeschooling so hard and coming up with new legislation and this and that, because that's where the schools are funded, is by
attendance.
Each individual head of child that that is registered and enrolled in that school. That's where they get their money from. So it's all about the business, all about the money.
It is. And it's interesting. I mean, you know, and I know that it's the same thing out here. The jails are, they have a jail that when you get arrested right away, they throw you in, and then they've got a longer term jail, and then they've got the jail that you can do weekenders at, the people that are on the weekend program, and then there's people that they have a different program for people that can check in at night and after work and spend the night in jail. And I mean, just talk about a racket. I mean, it's like how many different sections or parts of jail do you got to have? And they're booking people, you know, 3-6 months out, you know, to go to jail. I mean, talk about, it used to be, you know, when you were convicted of a crime, you went to jail. Now it's you're convicted of a crime, and you show up for jail in 6 months and do your time. I mean. You know,
sounds like you're making a reservation.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're right. It's all. It's so much of it is about the money. It's the whole system is set up like that. You know, driving cross country from here out to Branson and back, you see, you know, over the last 10 or 12 years, can you even count how many new correctional facilities they built? Big, huge. You know, they'll call them either courthouses or. You know, Department of Law Enforcement, these huge buildings, I can think of two, and it seems like they were in Missouri, maybe they were in Kansas. But, you know, these big detention facilities, jails, that they call them, you know, and it is because they're doing their best to arrest more and more people. And it is big money. You know, it's what, $50, $60 a day, I think, that these places get, you know, when they do have to, like you said, when they have to transfer prisoners. Oh, we're full, so we got to go over there. Okay, well, or the federal prisoners that they house, you know, the old thought of the old you know, jail like from Mayberry RFD, you know, with the sheriff there and his deputy and three jail cells, that sure ain't there no more. I know here in Laramie, holy smokes, they you look and see what the budget is, and that's they have tons of people roll through there. You know, I don't know how many, they have just, I want to say 12 or 15 detention officers just booking and transferring people all the time, you know, and they've got it set up, if you have to go get your fingerprints done, you know, for certain certifications or a CDL or whatever it is, that's where you have to go. and it's nigh on impossible to get that done. I've talked to several people, some people in the EMT class, that try to go do that, and you know they're just literally too busy to do that because they're dealing with all these prisoners. They're dealing with all these that have been arrested. And you know, you look back.
Well, and it's interesting because down here, it costs you. Well, it costs you. It costs the taxpayers about. The rates are up to $136 a day. That's what it costs. That's what the jail, the detention center. That's what they get paid per inmate per day.
Wow.
And then when you get when you check in to go to jail, you have got to pay $25 out of pocket per day that you spend in jail. And so if you get 10 days in jail, it costs you $250, which they make it really convenient for you because you can get a punch card. And then they just have a punch card that they punch it in when you go into jail and give it back to you when you get out. And you can buy 10 punches, you know, at a time. And they give you a little bit of discount if you buy 10 or more, I think it is.
And what's the
but talk about
what's the punch card for?
Talk about insanity.
And what's,
I mean, it. What's that?
I just didn't follow you. What's the punch card for? Is that for?
For when you check into jail. You can buy. You have to pay when you check yourself into jail. if you're going in, you know, for 5 days or 10 days, or if you're checking in at night, you've got to pay $25 per person per night.
That's
out of pocket. That's on top of what the state gets. So they sell you a punch card where you can buy 10 days in jail, 20 days in jail, 5 days in jail, and it's got five punches on there, and they just punch it once a night every night. Because there's a lot of people that just check themselves into jail at night, and they'll do like 30 nights straight in jail, but they'll let them out for work in the day, and they can go back and check themselves in at night, and they just give them a punch card. So it's so you got the $136 that they're getting from the state and federal funding for the jail, and then you've got to pay on top of that. You've got to pay $25 to go in there and stay the night, and it is just, I mean, it's crazy. And the interesting thing is just to show that it's just a money deal. I was talking to a guy that was doing 15 days in at night, and he was out during the day and was in at night, and he kept telling me, he's like, man, some of these people down there, he's like, I've talked to a bunch of them, and some of them just, they'll come in 3 or 4 days into their sentence and say, okay, well, we just wrote you off as time served, you don't have to come back anymore. And he's like, you know, what are the chances you think that that's going to happen to me? And I said, well, I don't know. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, well, find out if those people were the people that paid in full for their whole 15 days or whole 25 days or whatever they were supposed to do, if they went ahead and paid their $25 a night for their stay. And he said, yeah. I said, he talked to one of the guys, and he said he was paid up. And I said, well, did he get a refund? And he said, no. And I'm like, well, that's the deal. I said, if you want to get out early, I said, just make sure if you got to do 15 days, that you pay your $25 a night for the 15 days, and see what happens. So sure enough, he pays his money up front, and he's checking into jail every night. And after about the fifth night, when they went to release him in the morning, they told him, oh, they said, well, you know, we're booked up. We're going to go ahead and just let you go. We'll just call up time served. You don't have to come back here anymore. Well, they got to keep the money for the $25 a night, the whole 15 days. They release him, and they made room for another person. So, you know, it's not about justice, and it's not about, you know, if it was about justice, it'd be one thing, but it's not. It's about money, and it's a racket.
Yep. It is. It's part of the Babel of Babylon.
And the thing about it is you don't necessarily know who it is that's walking around you that have committed these crimes. We got some contractors that do some work for us for my company, and I was talking to one of the contractors, like, yeah, that guy over there said he's in jail. that he, we bring him home every evening, and he checks himself in at night, and we go pick him up in the morning, you know, and he had done some pretty serious stuff, but the way that it was set up with him was, you know, he didn't get his paycheck. The paycheck went to the facility, and then he got his portion of the paycheck, you know.
Yep.
So, once again, it was all about, you know, all about the money, which the guy was a good worker and all. I got to give it to him. But it was kind of shocking to me because, you know, I didn't have a clue that the guy that was standing there next to me, you know, was, you know, had done some of the things that he'd done and was in jail for it.
Well, and that's the thing is you look at what they consider, and you know, it's like all crimes the same when you're dealing with them. You know, a couple of the guys that I've, you know, spent time or talked to that have spent time in there, you know, they'll be, you know, you'll be one person won't pay a traffic ticket, or was, you know, going too fast or something like this, and the next guy stabs somebody, and, or rape somebody, or, I mean, you know, and it's, they look at it all as the same. It's like, you sin against the state, it's, you know, it's a crime, and it all falls under the same, it's a misdemeanor, you know. When the truth of the matter is, some of the things shouldn't be considered crimes at all.
Yeah.
And then others, you know, when somebody's caught with a pound of cocaine on them that's peddling it to grade school children, you know, that's something that he shouldn't get to stay in a hotel for 30 days or whatever and be able to check himself out during the day.
Right.
So you got both ends of the spectrum there, just because the law of God is not being enforced in our land. This is as Balaam at work, I mean, it is Babylon, and the only protection that we've got, which is all the protection we need, will be through the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that ties back to what you said earlier, Jason. You know, you don't want to wait till that flood's bearing down on you and then all of a sudden find your religion, you know. God has better plans for you than that. He really does. And when the Word talks about, you know, Christ being our rock, our refuge, in the storm, that's exactly what He is. Well, guys, let's see if we can get a phone line in here. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment about what you guys were talking about.
Sure.
There was a famous person, I don't remember who it was, but he said, when any enterprise involves money, eventually it always gets to be about the money. There you go.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right. I think that's where we're at.
Hey. Thanks.
Yep. Yeah, and that's what, you know, people don't look at it. They call it a justice system. That's just a name for another name for enterprise.
Yeah.
Right. And
the more laws they pass, the more rules that they make, the more violators they're going to have, the fuller their jails are going to be, the more money they make.
Right. And they're all businesses. All the courts and all the counties and all that, they're all businesses, and they have Dun and Bradstreet numbers, and they're listed on Wall Street. So there you go.
Yep.
You can look that up.
Yep. Yep. I know it. Well, and even to go a little bit step further, I know that I can't remember what county it is here, but I think it's part of Larimer County and part of I'm trying to think what county here in Colorado, but the counties actually. It's the judges. The judges that are the county judges, the county judges that oversee all the traffic violations, all the DUIs, basically all the cases. they have a retirement fund, and their retirement fund owns the prison over several of the prisons here in Colorado. And they oversee, that's where basically where they get their retirement comes from, is they bought in, and it's owned by the judges. And in order to, if they get, as long as they get a conviction and somebody goes to jail, they base it off of per person and per convictions, and they get bonuses off of their investment based off of their convictions. And they've proven it time and time again. And they've proven that if they get a fine of at least $5, then they can, and then they count them up. I'm not sure exactly how it works, but I've talked to people that have done a lot of research on it. So basically, the judges have a special interest in finding somebody guilty, and their retirement's based on it. I mean, talk about enterprise.
Yeah, nobody's going to fix this either.
Yeah, and no, people don't even want to hear it. They don't want to, I mean, you know, you try to talk to people about it, they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to believe it. They, you know, they just think that, you know, oh, you know, and you always hear them talk about, well, this is a good judge, and this is, you know, I like this judge, he's a good judge, or I like, you know, these, and yeah, you can, yeah, there might be some good people, but they're still on the wrong side. You know, there's a difference between justice and what it should be and what it is that they call it today.
Correct.
Well, a lot of those good judges that you hear described, someone has the opinion of them that they're a good judge because they've got some kind of political weight with them. You know, they've got some kind of pull, so they're going to like the ones that that they can have sway in their direction, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that they're not out there. I mean, you know, I've seen some examples of some stuff that is, you know, make you think that, you know, there's a good God fearing one out there, but you know, that, and that has done something. But usually, usually from what I've seen lately, that's just not the case.
I'm sure there are some good Christian divorce lawyers out there, but I hadn't heard of any.
Yeah, you know, in the Bible, Jesus, when he walked on this earth, he forgave the prostitute. And he said, "Woe to ye lawyers." And I think that speaks volumes. You know, people that would go into that. And I think the lawyers and judges are in the same category with that. Well, caller, thanks for the call. Appreciate the comments.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you. Do have a few more
minutes. I agree with you 100%, Jason, that you do have judges out there that make good, godly judgments, and whether or not it be on their own accord, if they are, if they do have a heart after God, or if it be that the hand of God forced them to do it to benefit, you know, the person who is being accused or whatever. I sure don't want to detract from the fact that there, you know, can be good godly judgments that are doled out, you know. And the fact that homosexuality and things like that, you know, there have been judges that have taken a stand and
there have,
you know, and try to come against it. And I thank the Lord for them. So you definitely can't group or stereotype everyone into one.
Oh, I agree. I think you're absolutely right. I think that, you know, that they're out there, and I'm sure that there is. You know, it's like it's like anything else. You know, I think that, you know, what people got to realize though is first is we have one judge and lawgiver. You know, and that is, you know, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and anything that's contrary to what his law says should not be a law.
Yep. That is correct.
And people have a hard time with that.
Just got a text in
from... I think it's...
Oh, there we go. Just got a text.
I think being in a judge's position, you know, that's kind of a dangerous place to be. You know, as you're passing out on judgment, you know, have you ever thought about that? It's just, you know, what kind of job that must be. I think you would want to, you know, who's worthy to be able to do that, to sit there and pass down judgment upon people to decide the fate of the rest of their life. And, you know, without having a godly Christian person sitting in that seat, that's a scary, sobering thought.
Well, and none of us are. None of us can do that. And that is the correct application of the judge not lest ye be judged. I mean, if he was making his judgments according to the Word of God, and if he was handing out the penalties that the Bible prescribed for each offense, then, yeah, that would be one thing, because he would be handing down, you know, God's judgment. But being that he is judging of his own accord, and then the statutes and laws of men that have nothing to do with the Bible, you couldn't pay me to sit in that seat and wear that black robe.
Yeah.
No, not with the ungodly system that they're in, you know. But they it's what they attain to, though. That's something that they. Again, it points out the difference in they and us, but it's something that they desire. You know, that's what lawyers want to be. They want to be judges. They want to be directing those things. They want to be ruling.
And you're right,
people's
because there
lives.
Are some people that, from the time that they're a child, that's what they aspire towards, and that's what they, you know, set their focus on their whole lives. And when you said that the first time, Richard, a picture of a guy. Popped into my head, and you're right. That should be something that you look at. You know, if yep. someone has an aspiration to be one there with that power and authority to be able to make that ruling, you should definitely watch them.
Yeah. You know, we had to use an attorney here in town one time here a couple years ago for something, and it worked out fine. You know, it cost you a little money, and, you know, of course, we didn't go to some that you know, we knew that we've had issues with in the past, but found an attorney, and, you know, you got to do it. You got to go before the judge and do this and that. And you could tell it's just an old boys club, you know, a good old boys club. You go through the motions and, you know, hope you get the judge on a good day, you know, that he's in a good mood. And you know, of course, lots of prayer that goes into it. And it worked out. You know, but I know a couple of other attorneys, lawyers, you might say, and they're not us. It's as simple as that. There's a they and an us. Our pastor taught on that, and they are the they, in their attitude, in their demeanor, in their, you know, and it's that same, it's that judging spirit, you know. And I don't mean judging in a biblical way, but you know, you are the goyim, and, you know, because I'm a lawyer, you know, my poop don't stink, and what I say goes, and just, I mean, it's almost hard to describe. It's just it's like a totally different species. It's just so different. You just don't even want to be around them. You can tell.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it is. And it just solidifies that they and us that our pastor talked. You know, it's one thing you read it in the Bible. And then it's even another thing you hear when our pastor taught on it for years and years and would reference back to it, the difference between they and us. And we have that series available, folks, if you're listening in and thinking, they and us, what is he talking about? Well, there's a they and there's an us. But you know, when you live it, when you see somebody and you know, just maybe their neighbors or whatever, or just associates that you, for whatever reason, run in the same circle sometimes, or at least your circles bump together sometimes, and you see them year after year, in example after example, you know, situation after situation, and it's just, that's how they are. You know, and then you wonder why, or you don't wonder why, Jesus forgave the prostitute and said, "Woe to ye lawyers." And I like what you said. There's some people that just from it seems like from childhood, that's what they're destined to do and to be. You know, to they're like that as children. They go through school. They go through their you know, 4, 6, 8 years of college and university to be the lawyer. No thanks. No.
Well, and that's,
but as you go ahead, Jason.
Well, there's been a lot of changes as far as, you know, is even when people go and you know, they don't even teach them really law and the practice of law anymore. This, what they've done is they teach them the practice of procedure, and it's not about what the law says, and they don't even teach when, I mean, it's very limited on teaching the study of law and what the law means and how to understand it and how to apply it. It is the study of procedure anymore, and that's what you have to do, is you have to follow procedure.
Yep.
And they put that on a completely different level and higher than what they actually, what the law says.
You know, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the blessings and the curses, and in verse 49 of that, which is in the curses phase, of course, it says, "The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as the eagle swoops down, a nation whose language you shall not understand." And you tell me that the court system and the lawyers and the judges don't have their own language. And it's, I think it's just what you said, Jason. It's their procedure. It's not law. It has nothing to do with law. It has nothing to do, certainly, with the Bible or anything. But it's their procedure. And it is a language that we do not understand. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, guys, we are just, well, we've still got a few minutes left here. If you have anything you want to kind of wrap up or close out on, got a few minutes left here. We definitely want to invite you to come to church with us tomorrow, Sunday morning. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org, and you can click on the live video streaming right there on the home page and join us starting at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. East Central. 10 a.m. Mountain, you know, it's been like that for 15 years. You'd think I'd have it down by now. 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for a scriptural insight, a review of the news, a welcome. And Jason, I think you've got the welcome tomorrow, don't you?
Yes, I do.
And good. You bring in communion as well?
We've got something else going on for communion tomorrow.
Okay, well, great. And so, like I said, join us. There's the invite. Join us for church. And we'll have some good music. I think we have a couple new songs for tomorrow. Some members of the congregation extended had recommended. So we ask you you can join us for that. We'll partake of communion. And we will be judging when we partake of communion. It's what we do. So, if you want to do some judging, join us for communion tomorrow, because that's when we judge. But it's ourselves that we judge, not each other. So there's the invite. If you look at your calendar, you see that next weekend, next Friday and Saturday, are the 2015 solar year ending 91st days. And so we encourage you to take those days as a Sabbath if you can, you know, understanding that we are in an Egyptian, Babylonian type of captivity once again. But if at all possible, you know, take Friday and Saturday as a Sabbath. And then, of course, the following day is March 20th, is the spring equinox. It's day one of the new year, day one of Abib, as the Bible calls it, the first month of the year. And for an agricultural people, that starts in the spring. And And then, of course, 14 days later, on April 2nd, will be Passover. So plan on those things now if you can. We're doing our best to give you a little heads up on it. And, you know, today's the 12th. Daylight savings time starts or ends or something today. I don't know. You're supposed to turn your clocks forward tonight or get up at 2 in the morning and do it. Make sure you do that so that you can join us on time for church tomorrow.
Well, you know, Richard, as you jumping back a couple of steps, and as you and Jason were talking about the procedure and that they're more about the procedure than they are about the law, the procedure part made me think of the fact, you know, that Satan does have a counterfeit kingdom, and it is normally a mirrored opposite of what ours is, and you go before that judge pleading your case. Well, there's a procedure whenever you're dealing with those type of people. As you spoke, there's going to be instances more than likely where you're going to have a lawyer, and you're going to have to go before a judge, and there's a procedure of doing that, and our God lays out what that is. I mean, and we look to Him as our judge. You know, you pray to Him, you humble yourselves, you apply that anointing oil. And I would definitely advise anyone that has found themselves in that kind of predicament to look to God and to
Amen.
Put in place the proper procedures to appeal to Him for a judgment to go your way, and put all your faith in Him and do as you should, you know. Have your actions and your thoughts and your prayers to be pleasing before God, and He'll take care of the rest of it.
Amen. Amen. Had a praise report first of last week. Brother out in Alaska had that very thing. Had a court date, something, you know, a problem with his license. And so he prayed about it. He was able to go, certain time went by, he was able to go get his license from DMV, and then went to court, anointed it, prayed. Walked in and they said, well, we're dropping the charges and we're going to help you get your license back. And he said, well, here it is. I went ahead and got it. And they said, okay, have a good day. No fine, no fees.
And when you get that victory like that, you praise the Lord and you thank Him for it and you
Absolutely.
Exalt Him, because He's the one that delivered you from the Absolutely. Hand of your enemies.
Yep, that's what He does. Our God is an awesome God for sure. Well, guys, again, thanks for joining us. Thanks for being with us this morning, Jason and Josh, and we thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in and the texts and the calls. And again, we ask you, come to church with us tomorrow. It'd be a blessing for you. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535.
Rolling, stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make 'em health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, they high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep moving, moving, moving. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.